In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it's no doubt we are a divided country right now. And on this issue, we are a divided church. If I preach there, half of you like it, half of you don't. If I preach up here, half of you like it, half of you don't. I'm up here today so I can get better sight lines on the people in the back. That's my goal today. So half of you will like it, half of you will not. I'll be there again soon, so don't worry. Don't worry. You've probably heard this before on All Saints Day, right? You are all called to be saints. Have you heard somebody say that to you before? Maybe from a pulpit? I don't know. It's a common way to end an All Saints Day sermon. You are all called to be saints. I will get back to that. We can't disappoint you. We will not leave this sermon without saying that. But what I want to do today is talk about the Beatitudes, what Jesus gives us in our gospel today. And I need you to do two things for me. One, I need you to remember how it starts. Jesus looks up at his disciples and says, so I want you to think about this. Jesus is talking to a group of people, individuals. He's not giving a treatise on how international policy should be crafted. He's talking to individuals about living their life a certain way. So remember, some of the things we're going to say, you're going to say, well, that doesn't work. What if the country did that? No, Jesus is talking to people. He's talking to people. And the second thing is one thing that comes up when we read this passage is we tend to get our defenses up because immediately we think about how much we have in comparison to others, and Jesus doesn't seem too kind to the rich in this one. And we get dismissive of that. So I'm going to tell you right now, I want to let you know, Jesus does not hate rich people. Jesus does not hate poor people. Jesus loves both. And what he's saying has to do with justice and eternity. So lower your defenses if you think that. That's not how this sermon is going to end. What Jesus is talking about is justice. The Beatitudes are a treatise on justice that Jesus gives. It might not seem like that, because it's filled with maybe the first half, we would say, compassion. Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you'll be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you'll laugh. You might see compassion in there. We might think that's not justice. That's exactly the point Jesus is making. God's justice fuels our compassion. Let me explain that. When I was in seventh grade, I remember I had a math teacher, and I swore she hated me. I knew she hated me. I just knew. Everything she did in the class was just because of her personal vendetta against me as a seventh grade student. Teachers, you know how that is, right? You know how that goes. And so, of course, one week, my mother got called in for a parent-teacher meeting, she wasn't very nice about her feelings about me. And my mother walked away and said, you know, I think you're right. I don't think she likes you at all. And I said, see, vindication. I felt so right. I felt so on top of the world. She said, but that doesn't change anything. She's your teacher. You do everything she asks you to do. You'd be respectful, and went down the list. She's like, but that's not fair. She said, well, life's not fair, right? The sooner you get used to that, the better you'll be able to function in life. You've probably told that to your children. You've been told it. You've heard it in workplaces, that, right? Life's not fair. Jesus makes no illusions here that life isn't fair. And who he's speaking to in the first half of our Beatitudes are people who life has not been fair to. The poor, the weak, the mourning, the hungry, those who are being persecuted because of their faith. Those are the people Jesus is speaking to, and for them, life is not fair. They're not being treated with justice and equity, they're being treated poorly. And Jesus is reminding them a truth we say in our creed every week. We'll say it again in just a few minutes. That he will come again to judge the living and the dead. That there is a justice that's coming beyond just what we see with our eyes. And to trust that, even when it seems like life has not been fair to you, not been just to you, that you've been dealt a bad deck, trust that. That's not the end. That's not the end. There's a justice to that. The second part, the second half was a little less cheerful of what Jesus says. He's talking to those who are maybe on top in the system. And he says, "Woe to the rich, you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that's when their ancestors did to the false prophets." And I want you to hear this. I want you to hear what Jesus is saying here. He's not saying you're bad if you've had good things. He's saying you're bad if you live for those things. Maybe he's not even saying you're bad, it's bad. Would be a better way to say it. Heaven forbid I ever say Jesus says you're bad. That's not right. But it's not good if you live for those things. Right? The same idea for the poor. Understand eternity. Understand God's justice. This is not the last chapter. For those who are just living for things right now, how short-sighted is that? How short-sighted is that? Jesus says, that's your reward. If you have lived your life just to have things that pass away, that's such a short-sighted goal, and that's your reward. And that's the second half of that. It all comes down to justice and eternity. Don't think of this as the end. So don't think you've won if you've accumulated things. Don't think that that's the goal. It's not the goal. And he talks about what is the goal. In the last part of the reading, it's mercy, it's compassion, it's generosity. Those are the things that we're blessed, that we're meant to live by. Not just by accumulation and selfishness. Mercy, compassion, generosity. You know, if we trust in God's judgment, as Jesus is saying, trust in the justice that comes from God, it's such a freeing thing. We don't have to execute justice. We don't have to. Now remember what I said, this is about individuals. We're not talking about society. We understand society has to have certain rules to abide. But Jesus is talking about individuals. If you trust in God, it's not on you to punish everyone who's hurt you. If you trust in God's justice, perfect justice, it's not on you to punish everyone who's wounded you. It's not on you to punish everyone who's betrayed you. You don't have to carry that. He'll do it. You're free. One of my mentors in life was a priest for a long time and then a bishop for about 20 years after that. And he used to tell a story. He was from the South, and he used to tell a story that one day in the greeting line, he met a woman that came through. And she said, "Bishop, I have to tell you, I have hated you for 20 years now." And he said, "Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I haven't lost a wink of sleep about it," which is what the way he would say it. And meaning, it's the truth, right? Who does that hurt if we carry that around? I mean, it doesn't hurt the other person. It hurts you. And Jesus is saying, let it go. Trust me. I have this. My justice is perfect. My judgment is perfect. Don't worry about it. Right? This is living our faith. In hard times, show mercy. I've got the justice part. This is how you live your faith. And he's telling the disciples this. Go out into the world and live with mercy. Are we going to need mercy this week as a people? I think so. However this ends, we're going to need mercy on Wednesday morning. Live with mercy. God will handle the justice. Because this is not the end. And the other side is, if we've been blessed, understand eternity, that it's to be generous. It's to be a blessing. It's not to just keep it and hoard it. It's okay to have things. It's okay to have things. But Jesus is calling us to understand generosity in light of eternity. Because all the things we have, really, except for our relationships, will disintegrate. Literally, material things, they'll disintegrate. The only things we have that are eternal is our faith and our relationships. It's the only thing we have a hope of having on the other side. So he's asking, be generous Be generous with one another. Be generous to the poor. Be generous to those without. Be generous with those in need. Do to other people as you would have them do to you. Be generous. Most of all, what he's telling his disciples to do is acknowledge this truth. Life is not fair. Right? This is the reality. Jesus isn't proposing a policy to fix it. It's just a reality of living in a world with human beings who sin and fall short. And no policy, no procedure, no government is ever going to be able to eliminate human evil, greed, selfishness, and all those things that cause this. What Jesus is saying is, I'm asking you to go and be with those people in compassion and generosity who are the victims, those who are poor and hungry and oppressed. Don't forget them. Don't forget them. The church is at its best. We're at our best when we let compassion be the fuel for our ministry, right? When we let compassion be the fuel for our life, we're probably at our best, rather than we're letting anger fuel it, or judgment, or resentment, or jealousy. When compassion is fueling us, we're probably at our best. That's what Jesus is getting at. He's not saying, in some way, God doesn't like people who have stuff, have things. He's saying is just let compassion and generosity fuel you. Let it fuel the church. Minister to those who have less. Remember, life's not fair, and there's a lot of people there that are really being beaten up by that fact. Help them. Help them. So here's what we could do with this teaching. One is, this is what people outside the church do with it, right? They use it for criticism. So they'll say, look at that. Jesus calls us to mercy, calls us to generosity, and those Christians, they can't even do it. They can never get it right. They fight, they this, they that. And they use it to criticize. That's not what it's for. It's not a weapon. It's not meant to be a weapon. And the other thing we do, and this is probably inside the church where we fall short, is we dismiss it because it's too ideal. Jesus, I can't argue with what you're saying, but that just doesn't work in real life. Right? This is 2016. We have issues that are far more complex than what Jesus lived in, and these things don't work. And so we dismiss it, right? The thing Jesus is doing is not giving you an ideal that's just nice. Wouldn't that be nice? And he's not giving us a weapon to beat up other Christians when they fall short. He's giving us a challenge. This is how we live our faith in the world. Mercy, compassion, generosity. I mean, it's not, you know, we don't need a long treatise on it. This is what Jesus is telling the disciples. Go out, understand life's not fair. Understand people are in need and are hurt and are broken. Understand if you've been blessed with things that that's not the end game. And be merciful. Trust my justice. Be compassionate. And be generous. And that's what Jesus is sending his disciples out with, that challenge. Now, Here's where we go wrong most of the time. We look at that and say, that's impossible for me. Right? I can't. I don't even know where to start. So here we are on All Saints Day, and we take this day to just remember people in the church who have taken the challenge. Poor, rich, weak, strong, young, old, all over the world, in wartime, in peacetime, in famine, with great means, with little means, we have accepted that challenge. And all Jesus wants from us is to just start walking. Can we be tomorrow 1% more compassionate? I mean, is that possible? Can we be tomorrow 1% more compassionate? Maybe with one person, can we be softer and more compassionate? Can we be more generous to one person in our life? I mean, that's the challenge the saints accept. And it's the challenge for us, where you are all called to be saints too. And so am I. So, maybe we can't do it all in a day. Maybe it seems overwhelming if we think about the ideal of what the kingdom of heaven will be. But we can start with one relationship, one person, one wound. Can we have more mercy tomorrow with someone than we did today? Can we be a little more compassionate, a little more generous? And just start to accept the challenge of the saints. For you are the saints too. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.